You heard about Yeshua being the lamb. You heard about the lamb being crucified. You heard about the lamb giving up his life. You heard about the lamb's crucifixion, setting us free. You heard in the scripture about the lamb's sacrifice, setting us free, purchasing us, redeeming us. What was that all about? Well, let me give you some insight a little bit. I believe that everything changed at the cross. You see, prior to the cross, when man made a mistake, when men made a big mistake, I'm talking about big ones, okay? Big ones. What was the only way to get reconciled to God? Wait till Yom Kippur. That's it. But see, everything changed at the place called the place of a skull, Golgotha. When Yeshua expired, when Yeshua gave his life willingly, everything changed. If you notice, there were all the forces of the evil one were there because the evil one thought he was winning. He was going to win by taking the life of the Son of God. Okay? Now watch. Let me show you that this is true. The witnesses that were there and the writers of the gospel say the following. Gross darkness fell over the whole land from noon to 3 in the afternoon on that Nisan 14. Here's what the book of Revelation says. Then the fifth angel trumpeted, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the pit, and smoke rose from the pit like the smoke of a gigantic furnace. The sun and the moon and the air were darkened by the smoke from the pit. Isn't that exactly what the writers of the gospel say? That you know, at 3 p.m., it just became really, really dark. It was gross darkness. Okay? You know what happened at that moment? We know what happened, but let me read what the scripture records for us. Yeshua made a spectacle out of the enemy. Look, that's in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Yeshua wiped out the handwritten record of debts with the decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He took it away by nailing it on the cross. After disarming the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them at the cross. Let me tell you what I can think about that. So the enemy's got his list of everybody's in there. And everybody's dying. Okay? And Yeshua's going to die too. So there's nothing can be done. But in that very second, at the last second, so to speak, Yeshua grabbed the list that was against you and me. And that's what it says. And he took it and nailed it to a cross and covered it with his own blood. And just in case, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he expired. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then he expired. This is Paul writing. I'm not inventing this. He took everything that was against you and me. Satan kept good records. And he got everybody in there except Yeshua. But he's going to kill him. You know, he got outsmarted by a better quarterback. On the last second, he took the writing that was against us and nailed it says in Colossians, to the cross. And he disarmed the principalities and powers. What I just read. And Satan and his army were publicly defeated. Now watch what happened there. The centurion saw that this happened. Okay, the Roman centurion, not a believer. The Roman centurion saw what had happened. But it's gross darkness. So you got to be close. Where was he? He had just was going to stick his spear on his side to make sure he was dead. He stuck the spear in what came out with blood and water. And he saw what happened. What did he see? Did he see somebody bleeding? Did he see just that this poor guy died? That's not what he saw. He saw the defeat of Satan with his own eyes. Look at the next verse in Luke. Then the hostile crowd saw this happen also. And they turned back from the cross. They made teshuvah. That's exactly what the word in Hebrew would be. They made teshuvah. They turned around and went the other way. Okay? And beat their breasts. Now, when do Jewish people beat their breasts? At Yom Kippur. What? They realize the same thing that you realize in Yom Kippur. That we are guilty. However, it says in the scripture, his acquaintances and the women who were following and his disciples did not see this happen. So they were standing at a distance watching. But because it was really dark, you got to get close to see. And they didn't see it. They didn't see the glorious triumph of Yeshua as spoken to us in Colossians. So since they saw neither of those things, they didn't see it. They left defeated and fearful. Now this is precisely what Yeshua said in John 8:28. Yeshua said, when you have lifted the Son of Man, when you have lifted him up in that cross, then you will know who I am. You will know that I am the Son of God. That's what the centurion said. Truly, truly, that was the Son of God. Who told him that? And this, since when do Roman centurions confess faith? I do nothing by myself but speak what the Father has taught me. Indeed, at the cross, at the moment of his death, he triumphed over the evil one once and for all. You and I realize this and proclaim him as the divine Son of God. However, notice that those present, even those responsible for his death, even the ones that crucified him at the moment of his death, when they were close, they saw him defeat Satan and exclaim, he was righteous. He was the Son of God. The scripture in Colossians states unequivocally the following. Yeshua wiped out the handwritten record of debts with the decree against us, which was hostile to us. He took it away and nailed it to a cross. Therefore, what shall we say in view of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? How often have you and I betrayed Yeshua? Oh, some strong words. How often have we betrayed Yeshua? I sure would like to say never, but that would be a lie, a bold-faced lie. Because the truth is, I betrayed him just a little while ago. The truth be known, I already sinned today. I'm not sinless. And today, at some point, I sinned against the Lord and betrayed him, betrayed Yeshua. You see, you and I know to do good. We know how to have correct behavior, but we turn away. We turn away. And it is because our vision is blurred in the same way that the vision of those disciples that didn't go to the cross, that were at a distance, did not see either. And if our vision is blurred, we don't get the heavenly reward. We just get the earthly reward. Don't kid yourself. Scripture says it's a reward for sinning. In fact, it says that sin is nice for a while. You know, it brings pleasure for a while, but then it bites you like a snake. The enemy convinces us that this is not to our death. Oh no, it's going to be okay. Just, you know, just a little sin here and there, or a big sin. But I want to tell you something, unless you can look in the eyes of the Messiah, unless you can look at his eyes and you experience his great love for you, you're going to despair. You say, oh, well, can you prove that to me? Oh, yes, I can. There was a young man that came in Matthew chapter 19 and in Mark chapter 10. A young man, he came to the Messiah and said, teacher. I know that's translated teacher, but it would be rabbi, okay? Teacher, what good shall I do to have eternal life? In other words, I want to be saved. I want to have eternal life. What do I need to do? Well, here's the answer. You know the commandments. Do you guys know the commandment? Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not cheat. Honor your father and your mother. The man evidently got nervous and didn't want to hear all 10 of them. Okay? And he said, responded, teacher, all these things I've kept since my youth. The next verse, looking at him, Yeshua loved him. Looking at him, Yeshua loved him and said, one thing you lack. Go and sell as much as you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. What was the young man's response? What would be yours? Well, let me tell you what it says. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he had much property. He had much money. I know you're just going to get excited now because nobody rich around here. But the truth of the matter is that we tend to want to hold on to our stuff. The truth of the matter is that our stuff is really important to us. The truth of the matter is that are you willing to just walk out of everything that you have and go sell it all and hand it over to those people asking for money on the streets in Gainesville and then go follow Yeshua? I want to tell you that I don't think that's what I would do. It just would be hard to do that, huh? Why? Because the world and its possessions have a hold on me. It's not that I hold these things, it's that they hold me. I've met a few people, and there are some people in this congregation. Okay? I'm not counting myself among those, but there's people in this congregation that don't have a hold on those things. Those things don't hold them. There's people in this congregation, I have proof. The reality is that sometimes in our lives, we make decisions that gratify our flesh, even though we're faced with a multiple choice test. Choose this, A, or choose B. For example, I may have decided to do this and that, fully knowing that I may be choosing my values and my agenda and my choices over his. What are his choices? They're written in the Bible. You're here because he had a choice about where to be today, by the way. We're not here because we thought about it and just felt really good. Oh, well, let's go extra. No, it's because of him. He was being confronted with his choices. This is another case. On the night when he died, which is Aviv 14, one of his disciples decided to sell him and betray him. We know him, his name is Judas, but actually, that's not his name. His name wasn't Judas, but Yehuda. He's named after Judah, the son of Jacob, that all the Jewish people are named after. We don't like the name Judas, but if it's Judah, it would be okay, wouldn't it? So he decided to sell the Messiah. And he went and bargained for 30 pieces of silver. And he said, "The one that I kiss is the one, grab him." What did he expect? Did he think it's going to be easy? I don't think so. But thinking that this was going nowhere, because all Yeshua has been talking about for the last 2 weeks, you know, he's going to die. So it says in Scripture, Matthew 26, 48 through 50, "Now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, 'The one I kiss, he's the one. Seize him.' And immediately," Judah, correctly in the TLV, "Judah drew near to Yeshua and said, 'Shalom, Rabbi,' and kissed him." Now, is it possible for me to kiss Marilyn without her seeing me? He's standing there. Is it possible to come to Marilyn, my wife? I won't do that to you, right? You'd be up, think I'm funny or something. Okay, so my wife. Is it possible for me to come in front of my wife and kiss her on the cheek and her not see me? Me not see her? No, it's not possible, is it? He kissed him, and Yeshua's response was not like Tony's, not like mine. "But I know that person is betraying me. I would just say, 'You scoundrel.'" That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, "Friend," Yeshua said to him, "do what you've come to do." Then they came up and threw their hands on Yeshua and seized him. And you can read about what happened from that point on until he dies at 3 o'clock the next morning, 3 p.m. What happened to Yehuda? What happened to Judas? What happened to Judah? He became overcame by the beauty that he saw in the Lord, the friendship. He just stayed with him. He's like, I can't shake it. I betrayed him. So he went into his own, did not go back to Yeshua, stayed on his own grief. And the scripture records that he hung himself. Now, really, what happens when we do it better than that? I mean, is there somebody who did it better than that? Most of you say, oh, no, nobody did that. Oh, well, I want to tell you about Simon Peter for a second. He was the number one on the group. He was the guy on you, Petrus. I will build my congregation. Petrus is tremendously important in this narrative. What happens if you really let him down? Like, the number one guy let him down? I mean, we don't hear much about Judas. We don't hear much. But we hear a lot about Peter. You might say, well, I never let him down consciously. I would say I disagree. You and I know him. You and I are close to him. We know his ways. We know his Torah. We have said, Hineni, Lord. But have we delivered on what we've said? So how will we, his disciples, who are members of his bride, respond in a situation where we turn our back on him? The scripture records in Luke 22, verse 62. As soon as Peter had denied him three times in a row, by the way, cursing, that should tell you right away, this is not good. So three times, this one servant girl said, well, yes, I saw you. I'm sure it's you, the third time. And then he really got excited and said, blank, blank, blankety, blank. The scripture doesn't record for us. I do not know him. Here's what the scripture records. And the Lord Yeshua turned and look straight at Peter. If it had been Tony, it had been like, but that's not what happened. Yeshua is love. So just like the other two cases, he loved him. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, before the rooster crows today three times, you will deny me three times. The scripture records that from that point on, Peter saw the look of love. Peter saw the eyes of Yeshua, and he felt totally undone. The scripture says he went out and wept bitterly. Let me tell you something. When the blood is applied, but then it's ignored, we apply the blood of Yeshua in our life and they ignore it. When we leave the safety of the blood-stained lintels of his love and wander into the night of horrors and the world, and we mess up big time. Mess up big time. Mess up big time. Like these guys did. What is going to happen to us? Yeah. But the cross. But the cross. See, at the cross, everything changed. And Peter got a second chance. This is precisely what the rest of the apostles experienced. Because, think for a moment, when Yeshua came to see them, how many of those 11 were at the foot of the cross with him? Where were the other 10? When it's time to ante up, they weren't there. So, yes, Judas betrayed him. Yes, Peter betrayed him. But it looks to me that there's a bunch of other disciples and apostles that betrayed him just as well. So, are you saying Yeshua is the Lord of his second chance? Well, Marilyn quoted something for you. She said, "How often daily do we sin and can be expected to be forgiven? Isn't it 70 times 7? And then she said, praise the Lord, the lady was in the spirit about the message. She said, and if that's what he said for us, isn't he going to apply this for himself? Isn't he going to forgive 70 times 7? So let me finish up. As awful and serious as Peter's sin was, to his face, betrayed to his face, that was not the unpardonable sin. Let me say that again. Peter did not commit the unpardonable sin. The young man did not commit the unpardonable sin. And I know that the scripture says that it's, you know, to make fun of the Holy Spirit or something like that. But when Judas took his own life, no more chances. So if you die and you don't make it right, there ain't no more chances. That's enough for any of us to come to the Passover of Yeshua. That's enough for us to come to the place where he died, to the place where he triumphed. He didn't die to be, he died there to triumph. That's what the scripture says. So what response would I give to his look of love today? Well, let me quote Paul. Get rid of the old habits. Get rid of the old habits. Okay? So that you can obtain freedom. I preached that last week. So let's come to the place of the skull. See Yeshua on the cross. the people crying, looking on, a man would say, such tragedy. But what the world could not see was when they nailed him to a tree, he would break the chain of sin and set man free. Flowers of hope, it said in the song, thorns of violence, thorns of hate were growing wildly. And the trouble they had caused was plain to see. But watch, but when the blood came streaming down that cross where my Jesus bled and died, it started blossoms of forgiveness growing free. If there was a cross right here, that's the response. Because love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope sprang up for those of us that have betrayed him, men in misery. Because sin died where the blood fell. Therefore, I am so glad that his precious blood has covered me and has covered you. Shem Yeshua. Amen.